Thanks for listening to MCC's podcast. Have a great day and enjoy the message.
Good morning, MCC. Great to see you today on this special weekend. So glad you decided to be in church. You know, this is a unique weekend because of what we've already commemorated and noting those who have given their lives. And it reminds me of a story of a little boy was in the foyer. We don't say foyer, but foyer of the church. And he was looking at a plaque, and it had all these names on it. And he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, what is this plaque, and who are all these people?" And his dad explained to him, he said, "Well, son, that's a list of all the names of people who died in the service." And the little boy's eyes got really big, and he said, "Was that the 9 a.m. or the 11 a.m. service?" Sorry about that. You know, sometimes we do misunderstand things. We look at things a little differently, or we miss the meaning behind things. In fact, some of you may have seen this. I think more than 500 people have already seen the little preview I sent out yesterday about this message, and I threw some dates out there, and so I want to start with that. All of these dates have something in common, so I want to see if anybody can help me. Do you know what any of these dates are? First, Tuesday, March 8th, 3500 BC. Any ideas? Well, let me help you. It was a pretty big day because that is when literally the wheel, the plow, that was in Mesopotamia, modern-day Egypt, those were invented, and the sail in Egypt were invented. Pretty incredible inventions, right? Now, actually, this is kind of a lie because we have no idea what the actual date was. We didn't even have this kind of calendar back then, so I kind of made that up, okay? But the 3500 BC is that's around the time that those things were invented. Tuesday, April 14th, 1271. Anybody know? For all my historic people here, historians, that was the day that Marco Polo set off with his father and uncle to open up the way to China. It is also the day that one of the funnest pool games was ever invented. Right? Yeah. Marco. See? It's still fun, even to this. All right, that's a lie, too. It didn't happen back then, but it was named after him. All right, how about Tuesday, October 12th, 1492? Columbus bumped into land he thought was North America. It was actually the Bahamas, but that's okay. And it brought all of this into being. That's pretty cool. Now, here's one I know you're going to know. Sunday, December 7th, 1941. That was a date which shall live in infamy, right? It was a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. That's right. How about Thursday, December 1st, 1955? It's your birthday. And that's why we're all here today. It's a surprise. No. That was the day that Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat to a white man on a city bus. And it birthed what historians say is the modern-day civil rights movement. Pretty important day. Last but absolutely not least, how about Friday, September 27th, 1985? This is a big one. This was the first date I had with my wife, Stacy. There we are. That is literally a picture from our first date. And yeah, so you're wondering why I have that expression. It's because I'm surprised she said yes. I'm just thankful she said yes. Hey, you know what? That's a pretty awesome date for me because that was my last first date. So that's pretty cool. Who knew, right? So what do all these dates have in common? Well, they're very divergent, but all of these dates have this in common. They all started off as an ordinary day. Nobody knew what was coming. It was unexpected. What started as very ordinary days ended up becoming extraordinary days. And often that happens when you see it at a distance. And in the moment, it's sometimes hard to recognize. But after time, you realize as those events emerge, that was an extraordinary day. Today, I want to posit this question and this thought into your mind, and that is this. There are no ordinary days. In fact, that's the name of the message I'm getting ready to speak to today. It's called No Ordinary Day. This today is no ordinary day. Why would I say that? Because God, I believe, has a different thought for us about each day. We may see it as very ordinary. It's just another Sunday. It's just another long weekend. But what if God, listen, what if God's intention is that every day becomes extraordinary? And even beyond that, what if God's plan is that we get to participate in the transformation of an ordinary day into an extraordinary day? I want you to open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 22. And in just a moment, we're going to take a look at a very ordinary day in many ways. Luke chapter 22. Now, while you're turning there, I want to take you back a moment to last Sunday. Last Sunday, Dr. Bob Roden spoke here on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I think he did a fantastic job in just talking about who the Holy Spirit is, how we begin our life in the Spirit the day we say yes to Jesus, the day we receive Him as our Savior and He forgives us of our sins. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is deposited into our hearts and brings us to life. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about the second blessing of the Holy Spirit, or the second wind, Bob referred to it as. And that is the day of baptism of the Holy Spirit, where He overflows us with His love and with His power. In fact, a number of people last week received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were worshiping and just praising and enjoying God. I was speaking with a young lady in our church who's really a relatively new in our church and a new believer. And here's what she shared with me. I love it. She said, "You know, Pastor Duane, I was worshiping God and we were singing to Him. And then it was all of a sudden just these words that I didn't understand began to just flow out of my mouth." She says, "I don't know what I was saying, but I know it was God." Isn't that awesome? Yeah, we can give God a hand for that. I can promise you, for her and for others, that day was no ordinary day. God did something amazing and unique. But here's my premise today. I believe that Jesus paid much too high a price for us to only be stirred occasionally. I'm going to say that again. I believe Jesus' price for our salvation was way too high for us to only experience God in that moment or occasional moments where we're taken aback by His love, we're overwhelmed by His power. Those are wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with those at all. But God's love for us is too great to only be stirred in those moments occasionally. What God intends for you and me is that we would walk in step with the Holy Spirit every single day. That we would have communion with God's Spirit. That He would speak to us and we would respond to Him. That there would be this give and take every day between us and the Holy Spirit. That's what this message is really about. What does it mean not only to start in the Spirit, but to walk in step with the Spirit? So we're going to go to Luke chapter 22. And this passage is really detailing part of the last week of Jesus on earth before His crucifixion. In fact, this day is leading up to some major events that are getting ready to happen. Judas has just been to the high priests and has agreed to take money for betraying Jesus, for turning Him in. So the stage is set, and there's a lot of big things getting ready to happen. And if we're not careful, we will miss this little passage here that in itself seems rather unassuming and a bit mundane and like it's just kind of giving us a few details. But there's something remarkable happening if we take a look at it. Luke chapter 22, beginning to read in verse 7. The scripture says this: "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to that house, to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, "Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is powerful and effective to accomplish what you want it to accomplish in our hearts. I pray that, Lord, we would be in agreement with you and hungry for you to do just that today. Have your way in us and have your way through us. And Lord, may you show us even today that there is no ordinary day. Today, you're showing up in a unique way in our lives. And we simply say yes to whatever you want to do. In the name of Jesus, we say amen. Amen. Which means so be it. It means yes, I agree, Lord, do that. I want you to look really closely at the commands, at what Jesus gave as far as instructions for Peter and for John. He said, go into the city to make preparations. Now, I want you to know this is Passover. And Passover has been happening for thousands, more than 1,000 years in this city. And people have been pouring into this city for more than 1,000 years to celebrate Passover. There's nothing unusual about this. Lots of people pouring into the city. And then Jesus says specifically, when you get in there, you're going to be met by a man who is carrying water, carrying a pitcher of water, and I want you to follow him. You're going to meet this man. Now look, there are people everywhere in the city making preparations for the Passover. This is not unusual. Now, it may be a little unusual that a man is carrying water, but probably not in this setting. It's this festival. Everybody is making preparations. They're bringing all the provisions so that they can celebrate Passover together. Jesus says, follow this man to the house that he enters and ask the owner for use of the room. Nothing unusual here. During Passover, many people who are household owners would open space in their home for people to celebrate because they knew there are thousands of people gathering from surrounding nations, thousands of Jewish believers in God that are coming back home to celebrate Passover. Nothing unusual in what's happening. Jesus' instructions were very specific, clear, and here's the important thing. They were absolutely right. Verse 13 says that the disciples left, and it says they found things, how? Just as Jesus had said. It was exactly as Jesus had described it would be. That's how they found it. Today, I want to use this passage to help you and me recognize what are the ingredients that turn an ordinary day into an extraordinary day. What is it that makes the difference? And I believe it begins with this first ingredient, and we see it in what these disciples did. And it's something you and I must learn to do, and that is simply to relax and trust God's sovereignty. We must learn to relax and trust that God knows what He's doing, that God has a plan, and that God is already at work. You see, Jesus knew what was going to happen before it happened. Do you catch that in this? Jesus understood. There was a huge crowd of people heading for Jerusalem. It was impossible for him to know that a particular man carrying water would be met at a particular time by his disciples unless Jesus had supernatural insight. There's no other way he could have known that. These guys are going to meet the right person. It's impossible for Jesus to know that that man was going to be the man who was going to the house that would have an upper room that was large enough and prepared for his disciples and that they would be able to experience what they experienced there. It was impossible to know that unless Jesus had supernatural insight into what was happening. Now, lest you and I kind of shirk that off to the fact that, well, Jesus was God. Of course he knew. Listen, when Jesus became man, the Bible says that he disrobed himself of his glory, and he became fully man. He was still God somehow, but he was fully man. Listen, Jesus is operating by the influence of the Holy Spirit in his life, the same Holy Spirit that you and I can operate by. There's no difference. He was full of the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit give him direction, and the Holy Spirit told him exactly how all this was going to play out. It's the same thing that you and I have the opportunity to experience. It would be, for instance, impossible for you to know that even after delays or after changing your mind, you go to the grocery store, let's say, at just the right time, and you happen to go down the aisle that you never go down, like me, because you're lost and you can't find what you're looking for. And so you're searching and searching and searching, and you happen to go down an aisle at the same time. There's somebody else coming up that aisle. And maybe it's somebody who hasn't been in church in a long time, or somebody you haven't seen in a long time. And it would be impossible for you to know that you're going to meet and you're going to discover in that encounter that that person is in need of encouragement or is going through a season in life where they really need some help. And if you hadn't gone that way and it hadn't been at that exact moment, you never would have met, but God was in the works. That's God working in our lives. It's impossible for us to make that happen. It's God's sovereignty that drives those moments. And that's how God wants you and me to live. In fact, the prophet of Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 55. This is what God says: "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You thought that phone call delayed you from getting to the grocery store when you wanted to get there, but that phone call that came and delayed you lined you up perfectly for that meeting that God wanted you to have. You fill in your own scenario, but it's God at work. This wasn't the first time these disciples had had this experience. You can look for yourself back in Luke chapter 19 at the beginning of this same week. Jesus told them a very similar story about how to find the donkey that he would be riding in that day we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was just as Jesus had told them. Just as Jesus had told them. I want to encourage you today. God is driving things, and you can trust him. I read a story recently about a family that was going to the lake. And everybody piled into the car. Kids are in the back. Mom and dad are in the front. And on the way to the lake, they had to make some stops. They stopped to drop some clothes off at the cleaners. The mom had to run into the grocery store to get a couple of things. And dad got ice, and that happened. And then they needed to stop at somebody's house on the way out of town to give them something that they were supposed to give them. And so dad is, a little upset. He's finally getting on the highway, going to the lake. And guess what? He gets a visit from the nice man with the funny hat and the lights on the car, because he's going a little too fast trying to get to the lake. And about the time the dad is pulling back out onto the highway, his daughter in the back seat simply says this. She says, "Hey, Dad, where are we going?" And the dad says, "We're going to the lake." And the little girl's response is, "Okay." She's not worried. She's not upset. She's not distracted. Even though there have been all these starts and stops and turns this way and that way, and even though that nice man stopped and gave Daddy a piece of paper, all of that happened, right? But listen, she's not upset about it. Why? Because she knows and trusts who's driving. She trusts him. Dad says, "We're going to the lake." We're going to the lake. We may have to stop here. We may have to go there. Friend, do you get the point? The Lord is leading you somewhere, and it may feel like you're going off track. It may feel like, how did I get over here? I'm not supposed to be over here. I'm supposed to be going there. And how did I end up in this cul-de-sac? How did I stop here at this moment? I shouldn't be here. God, this can't be you, because I'm supposed to be going over there. And all the while, God is orchestrating starts and stops for your good and for his glory. And if you just trust him, he's going to get you where he wanted to get you in the first place. You can trust him. Trust his sovereignty. Even when it doesn't make sense, we can trust the one who's driving. By faith, we learn to trust that Jesus is in control. Listen, he is not upset by what's happening to you. He knew it was coming. And he's already made a way. He's already made a plan to bring you through it. He's orchestrating what's happening. The Bible says it this way in Romans 8:28. What does it say? We know what? That in some things, a few things, occasionally. No, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God, I don't understand why this detour has happened, but I'm trusting you because you're driving. Jesus' knowledge and his power and his control are awesome. But I want you to notice something about these two disciples. Their actions are very ordinary actions. There was nothing supernatural about what they did. In and of themselves, these were just ordinary actions they were taking. But ordinary events, coupled with the supernatural knowledge of God, will bring about fulfillment of what God wants every time. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying it's not enough to just know or even to just say that I trust God and his plan. We must do whatever Jesus says to do. It's action. It's obedience. It's incredible when you think about it. God has this amazing plan. And if he wanted to, I guess he could just snap his fingers and make it happen. But so often, listen, God by his sovereignty transforms the ordinary. Listen, the ordinary is transformed into the extraordinary through Jesus' power, often coupled with our obedience. Do you catch that? It's often Jesus is doing something that only he could do, but he uses our very ordinary day, our obedience to him, to bring it about. We get to play a part. We play a role in what God is doing. You notice what it said in that verse. In that verse, it says that the disciples left. They went immediately and did what Jesus said. It does not say that they went at a convenient time. It does not say that they waited until they were already going to make some other runs and then decided to, you know, add in what Jesus said. It does not say that they just didn't quite feel like it that day and they went. No. It says they immediately went and they found things exactly as Jesus had said. That's our part in transforming ordinary days into extraordinary days. We obey Christ. We do what Jesus says to do. We get to play that role. I was thinking about this earlier this week, and I was thinking about there's so many people that serve, more than 100, there's closer to 200 people probably, that serve every single Sunday to make Sunday happen, whether it's children's ministry or out on this end. I was thinking about one of the teams that I oversee, and that's our ushers who are here every week serving and doing what they do. In fact, I think let's just give some love to our ushers because they do an awesome job. Yeah. We love you guys. Our ushers operate under this mission. Every Sunday, this is the mission that I've given them a number of years ago, and it's simply this. They order the natural so that the supernatural can happen. Now think about that. Their job is to take care of the natural. That means you have in your hand what you need in your hands. It means you know where they're seating, if you need to find seating, if you're heading out and you need to find a restroom or you need some help. That means they're doing these natural things that make it possible and remove distractions so that the supernatural can happen. But here's the really cool thing. Listen. The very ordinary and natural things that they're doing actually end up becoming supernatural because God is using them to accomplish his purposes. There are so many times, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten this kind of report where somebody had to leave the service for one reason or another. Maybe they were upset about something or something was happening, and an usher follows them out and just simply says, "Can I help you? How can I serve you?" And so often I've heard this report that the very thing that individual is maybe going through, that usher experienced in their life, and there's an experience that can be shared, an encouragement that can be given, prayer that can be offered from somebody who gets it, somebody who understands. Do you think that's by accident? No. That is God at work in the mix saying, "Watch this. Watch what I'm getting ready to cook right here. This is going to be good." You see, that's how God works. But it takes obedience on their part to simply walk out and ask, "Can I help?" That's our part of the miracle. That's part of the transformation, how it becomes supernatural, how it becomes extraordinary. God directs us in every way that he desires to. We are to do whatever Jesus says. You know, and at times, like we see here in Luke 22, He's very clear. He gives very clear instructions. Maybe you're seeking the Lord early in the morning and He may impress on you to go to a certain place or perhaps change your routine a little bit. Maybe call someone in particular. Or He might even give you details about what to expect or what the result of that's going to be. It's fulfillment of what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 30. He said, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. It's fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied. By the way, I just have to throw this in there. If you're considering doing something you shouldn't be doing, you're tempted to go in disobedience to God. Maybe there's a sin thing that's kind of tempting you. Can I just remind you, God has already spoken about that in His Word. His Word is speaking to you in that moment. You don't have to rely on some other involvement for God to show up in some unique way. If you're thinking about cheating on your wife, don't you look for God to throw up a block in front of you. He's already done it. It's His Word. He says, stay away. Don't do it. In that moment, what you and I get to do is what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 10. We get to look for the way of escape, and we get to open that door and run like the wind. It's our responsibility. That's our part. And what an extraordinary day that becomes. Do you know every temptation? Listen, this is simple, but it's good. Every temptation is an opportunity to do right. Not just an opportunity to do wrong. Isn't that simple? It's just as much an opportunity to do what's right as it is to do what's wrong. Partner with God. Sometimes, however, God's direction isn't that clear. It's not like it was here where Jesus said, go here, do this, do that. Sometimes it's not that clear for us. And in those moments, that's when we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Paul said it this way in Galatians 5:25. He said, since we live by the Spirit, since the Holy Spirit brought us to life in Christ in the first place, he said, keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in step with it. You know, there's something I've enjoyed doing for the last 2 years since we've had a dog, and that is I love it when Stacy and I get to walk together. We go out and walk the dog. Now, walking our dog is a bit of a challenge because he wants to stop and smell something like every 10 seconds. You know, so we're always constantly kind of being pulled this way or pulled that way. But what I've noticed is when we're walking together, here's what I like the most. I love it when we are walking in step. Left, right. When we're together. In fact, it drives me nuts sometimes when we're not in step, you know. And I do that little thing like where, you know, where you get, right? Right? You know what? Somebody told me in the first service, it's called a change step. I didn't know that. But so like, you know, you're walking along. Because it's tough, especially if you're holding hands and you're not in the same step. You're like kind of pulling. It just feels weird. But when you get in step, it just feels natural, right? Can I just tell you, that's exactly how the Holy Spirit wants His relationship with you to be. He says, you know what? I want you, let's just walk in step together. It's natural. It's easy. And listen, where does the change come? For most of us, that little change step happens first thing in the morning. When before we check Facebook, we open God's book. And we read something that speaks to us. Now listen, it may not even speak to us in that moment. We may read it and go, well, that was okay, you know, and we close it. But here's what's going to happen. Later that day, what you just read about, you're going to see. You're going to experience. Why? Because you have tuned yourself in to what God is doing, what God is speaking. And now, as I'm going through the day in step with the Holy Spirit, I am looking, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Where are you at work? And where can I join you in it? Walk in step with the Spirit. This is what God has called us to. And this is how we can live daily walking with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, am I directed by the Holy Spirit? Let me just give you this real quickly. The Holy Spirit usually guides us through one of four ways. Here it is. Listen, circumstances, other Christians, the Bible, certainly, and through prayer, by which we get the spiritual intuition or sense of what God is doing. There's another passage in Acts chapter 15. We won't go there, but the disciples, the apostles, were making some big decisions. And here's what they said. They made this decision, and they kind of stamped it with this. They said, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. to do this. And that's how we should live. It seems good to me and to the Holy Spirit. We're in step. We're in unison step. I feel that this is what God is saying. In those moments, the next step can be unclear, or even the outcome, the step after that can be unclear. But we trust God's sovereignty. We step out in faith to obey Christ. And I love that. Can I just say this last thing here before we do the last point and start to wrap this thing up? God is so cool that even when we try to get it right and we don't. Now, I'm not talking about stepping into sin. I'm talking about we're trying to obey God in something we feel like he's told us to do, and we just miss it. You know, we don't quite get it. Do you know that even in that moment, God loves so much that your heart was trying to obey him? He's good with that. You know why he's good with that? Because his sovereignty, he knows everything. He already knew you were going to miss that opportunity that he had set up for you. And he says, you know what? I know you love me and I know you miss me. We're going to try it again and I'll set it up again. We'll do something else. I can take care of that. I've already worked it out. I can redeem it. But I love you anyway, even though you sincerely missed it. Isn't it awesome to have that kind of God? Instead of a God that's waiting to like pound us? Yeah. It's awesome. Oh my goodness. If people hadn't sincerely missed it, most of the Bible wouldn't have been written. Bunch of messed up people. And we're right in there with them. That's the kind of God we have. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to embrace the potential of each day. Embrace it. I wanted to use an action word there. Not just think about it, not just recognize. I want you to embrace it, meaning actively. Embrace the potential of each new day. You know, for many of us, now make sure you hear what I am saying and what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is this. Some of us, looping back to point number one, have trouble trusting in the sovereignty of God, and so we try to manipulate and make things happen. That never works out well. Just doesn't. We cajole, we posture, we all these things, trying to make, even if it's something good, we're trying to make happen. When we try to do it, it rarely is a positive result. Usually it ends up being a negative result. Because God can do in one moment what you and I couldn't do in 1,000 tries. That's for somebody today. Stop manipulating. Stop trying to force. God knows your intention is good. But listen, I just believe this is a word from the Lord. God says, you're messing things up. Cut it out. like seriously, just trust me. God says, I know what I'm doing. When I say embrace the potential of each day, embrace the possibility of that day becoming extraordinary, I'm saying focus in on what God can do out of the very ordinary events of your day. Notice what he's up to. Notice your surroundings and engage with God in what he's doing. But do that intentionally. I'll say it this way. God may desire to work in and through your seemingly ordinary activities on any given day. And most of us have kind of our patterns, and that's okay, that helps us. But imagine if God wanted to break in and do something in the middle of that pattern to transform it into an extraordinary day. This was an ordinary day in Luke chapter 22. In fact, historians have said that there's two possible dates for it, and one of the likely dates that this happened, preparing for this Last Supper, was Thursday, April the 2nd, 33 A.D., But that very ordinary event, that very ordinary day, became amazingly extraordinary, didn't it? Those disciples had no idea what was about to happen. They were about to experience what you and I know as the Last Supper with Jesus. They were about to learn about communion, what you and I still celebrate. They were about to have that instituted that night. They were about to hear some teaching and experience prayer on the part of Jesus that they'd never heard, they'd never experienced before. This was an amazing night. He was going to be betrayed that night. He was going to be arrested that night and would march to the cross within hours. But they had no idea all that was happening. It became, however, an extraordinary day in their lives. So don't just passively wait for that day to come to you. I want to challenge you to engage. Engage. Listen, maybe that person who's been after you to have lunch together with them, that person that maybe it's a little tough to hang around them and you've come up with a lot of excuses and you're about to run out of excuses. Can I just say, what if God has been trying to do this? What if God wants you to get in touch with that relative that, you know, lives in the attic and is crazy Uncle Hal or whatever, right? You know, I don't know, but maybe God is trying to orchestrate some things to change the ordinary into the extraordinary. Why not say yes and see what God wants to do with it? Why not say yes and trust Him? If you want some more examples in the Bible, you can just jot these passages down. Acts chapter 8 is a great one. Verse 26 talks about how Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit to go to a certain street. And then he got there and he saw some people and the Holy Spirit told him, go to this chariot, go up to this. And there's this amazing connection that God did. You can also check out another place in Acts chapter 16. This is really fascinating, where Paul has wanted to go to Asia and take the gospel to Asia. And twice the Holy Spirit prevents him from going. It's amazing. And the Holy Spirit will do that with you and with me if we will walk in step with Him and be aware. Because each day has the potential for amazing good if we are alert to see God at work and join Him in it. Well, let me close with this. Two more dates. I have a friend named Steve. And Steve has been in and out of church really all of his life. He was involved in a youth group when he was a teenager, and off and on he would attend church. Interestingly, about 18 years ago, Steve met a woman named Stacy, and 15 years ago, they got married. Stacy was a Christian, but Steve wasn't. Steve had never received salvation from Jesus. You see, Steve was a thinker, and his father was a doctor, and of course, Steve had this great appreciation for science, and is it demonstrable? Is it repeatable? Is it observable? Then it's real. And so it made faith a very difficult thing. All this God stuff was so hard for him to get and understand. Steve and Stacy have been at MCC attending Sunday after Sunday for more than 15 years. And Steve's definitely been on a spiritual journey. He's been reading people like Lee Strobel and other apologists, just trying to figure out, how can I wrap my head around this God stuff? But on March 18th, 2018, Steve and Stacy came to church yet again. It was just another ordinary day. Steve heard the same gospel he's heard for 15 years. But that day, he heard something else. God's Holy Spirit began to speak to Steve that morning. And Steve became convinced that whether he understood it or not, it was real. And that moment, Steve prayed a prayer to receive Jesus as his Savior. Yeah. Do you recognize that in that moment, Steve was transformed from death? The Bible says we're dead in our sins without Jesus. And he was transformed from death to life in Christ. The Holy Spirit was transplanted into Steve's heart, and it brought his dead spirit to life. And he started a new life with Christ. I talked to him this week, and he said, I look at nature, and I understand how a lot of it works, and then there's some things I just don't understand. But he said, you know what I came to realize is that even if I can't understand it, that doesn't mean it's not true. I can trust the God who's behind it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? You see, that day that started out so ordinary became extraordinary for Steve and for his wife, who has been praying for 18 years for that day to come. What's the other date I want to tell you about? It's June the 17th, Father's Day of this year. Because on that day, Steve is going to get into that baptistry and he's going to publicly proclaim Jesus as his Lord. Yeah. What about you? What about you? What are you going to do with Jesus? For some of you, you walked into this room and it was just another ordinary day. But right now, something different is happening. You're feeling maybe it's a warming inside your heart. Maybe you sense God is like just kind of like pulling and saying, today I'm revealing myself to you. I don't know, maybe for you today, maybe it's like just a little voice in your head that's just saying, come home, come home. It may not be any of those things for you, but you somehow know the Holy Spirit is saying, today is extraordinary. Because today you can start fresh. If that's you today, don't let this moment pass. Say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Without changing the atmosphere of this room, I want to invite everyone to stand. Stay in an attitude where you are right now. Be quiet. It's not time to speak to other people. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. And if today, what I've described, and somehow is you sense God is drawing you to himself today, then I want you to pray along with everybody else who's going to be praying out loud, but I want you to mean it from your heart and invite Jesus to become your Savior. I promise you, you'll never regret it. Doesn't mean there won't be hard days ahead. There will be. But it means you'll never walk alone again. You can walk in step with the Spirit. He can direct you. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're in this moment with us. I sense your presence so rich. And I believe you're calling some people home to yourself today. So Lord, as we pray and lift up our voices, hear us. And those that are praying this, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time since they really surrendered to you, hear us, we pray, Holy Spirit. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I thank you that you're in this room. And I feel you drawing me. And so, Jesus, I believe you are the one and only Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. And that your blood can wash away my sin. And I ask you to do that right now. Make me clean and new. Jesus, I believe that God raised you from the dead. And so I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Not just to be my Savior, but to be my Lord, my leader. The leader of my life. I surrender myself to you today. And I receive you as my Savior today. And I believe you have come in. And I thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I want to say thank you for those who just made that prayer. Because, Lord, the Bible says that I can speak over them by your authority, by the authority of the Word. And I speak over you today that if you prayed and meant that in your heart, by the authority of God, I say your sins are forgiven and you have become a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. That's huge. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Now let me see your faces. I'm going to ask you to do two things. If you prayed that prayer and you meant that from your heart, You need to let somebody know before you leave today. Here's how I want to invite you to do. Please do this. You can either come down here and speak to one of the pastors or elders and just let us know what you've done. We have a little booklet that we want to give you that'll let you know what's just happened and what steps to take next. We have a Bible that we want to give you if you don't have one in a translation that's easy for you to understand. If you're not comfortable coming to us, we have the same pieces at the Welcome Center. Please go there and say, hey, I just prayed with Pastor Dwayne, and can I get that book? Can I grab that Bible? And they'll be glad to help you with that. That's number one. Please do that before you leave today. Secondly is this. I want you to get baptized in water. Listen, the Bible says that that's the first step of obedience of a new believer is to be baptized in water, to publicly proclaim what's already happened on the inside, okay? And so that's going to happen on June 17th. You can come to a seminar after either service on June 10th. We would love to do that, to have you part of that. I think there's going to be a lot of people baptized that day. It's going to be an amazing celebration as we celebrate together. You need to do that. You don't need to know anymore. You don't need to grow in Christ. No, that's just a step of obedience like we talked about today. It's what the Word says you should do, okay? All right? Last thing, I'm just going to pray this over you today, that the Holy Spirit will help us. Well, let me ask you this way. How about the rest of us? What are you going to do with what we heard today? You can just race out of here and go on with your weekend. But what if you didn't? What if you stopped for a moment and just had a little conversation? What if you took some time before heading out to see, maybe God wants me to connect with somebody. Maybe God wants me to meet someone I've never met before. Just begin to have a dialogue. What's going to be different on Tuesday when you go to work? Instead of racing for your cubicle to going through the crowd and just getting to work, what if you walked slowly and watched and observed and you see that, wow, that person looks like they could use some encouragement? And what if you just stepped into that moment and said, hey, are you okay? Who knows where God would take that? He does awesome work. He does awesome stuff if we walk in step with Him. So, Lord, I pray over all of us that we will walk in step with Your Holy Spirit, not just this week, but right now, just in this moment. May our eyes be open, our hearts be alert to what You're telling us to do, and help us just to walk in obedience, Jesus, to what You lead us into. And I pray, God, that this will be the way we approach each day, because we know there are no ordinary days. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.